Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. You can be seated. All right. All right. Thank you. I appreciate the introduction, the kind words there. Appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for being here today. I don't know if this is on. There you go. We thought we'd put something you all are very familiar with on the screen to start with. Some of you are thinking that looks a lot like my boyfriend, but it probably does, yes. Actually, I didn't fair honor of Hiro for his birthday today. I thought he'd appreciate that right there. So there you go. But sometimes this is a challenge we have, because I want you to challenge today and think a little bit. Something that moved me was reading my Bible, and I thought I'd share it with you. But have you ever just gone through life and feel like, you know what, something is missing? You can't figure out maybe what it is. I know sometimes life, it's the small things. I remember one time at our house, we were having pancakes for supper. My kids liked their pancakes for supper, and we looked, and we were out of syrup. That's exactly what I did. I started crying and became a mess. Pretty much, you know what they were? Frisbees. We didn't even want them. What is a pancake without syrup? I know another time, a lady made me cookies and came, and I was trying to look at them, figure out what kind. She's like, oh, they're chocolate chip cookies, but I didn't have any chocolate chips. So I threw them back in her face and said, well, you get out of here. But I didn't do that. But they're not chocolate chip cookies. Something's missing. And something pretty important was missing. Or if you ever gone to the route of pouring yourself a bowl of cereal and then seeing there's no milk. What a dilemma. What do you do? And so you have that dilemma and you realize, you know, sometimes in life, we can go through life and realize something is missing. I know one time going to church on a Sunday night, one of my boys, this has been several years ago, see, hey, you did that last week, but several years ago, frankly, I think I know which one, but I'm not positive. So we were getting ready to go to church Sunday night, so I got him up. One of them had fallen asleep for a nap. I said, hey, we're getting ready to go in a few minutes. So we came ready, walked out the door, and I'm watching him walk out the door. I'm like, you ready to go? Yes. Are you sure? Yes. So you forget anything? I don't think so. And his brother started dying laughing. He had his dress pants on, his Bible, shirt, tie, and no pants. He had no pants on. He was going to church. In hindsight, I should have just said, well, in hindsight, that's not a good term there. But in that term, I should have just let him go to church. There he is. You said you were ready. And sometime at some point, he would have realized something was missing. And sometimes in life, you go through life. You may live a week. You may live a day. And you realize something is missing. And as we go through life, I want to tie this in a few minutes. We also have symbols in our lives that represent other things. Yeah, I have a wedding ring on that symbolizes my marriage to my wife. So it's a symbol. It tells you that it represents a contract or a covenant between me and my wife. Then you have a Bible. A Bible can represent what? That God is speaking to us. It represents God's word. So you have that. You have a Bible. Yeah, you can have an American flag. An American flag represents what? A nation that was born and given to us by so many people who sacrificed for it. You may have a family picture. A family picture can represent, a family behind that or a group of friends. You know, sometimes you go in someone's house and they have those portraits up, or not portraits, but the frames up with like the fake picture in it. They have it on the wall. Oh, who's this? Oh, it just came with it. Why do you have that on your wall? It doesn't represent anything. You're a weirdo. So you see that, and it doesn't represent anything. You think less of them for it. And if money, if you had counterfeit money by the stack, it wouldn't matter because there's nothing behind it. It doesn't represent anything. But symbols should remind us of what they represent and move us to value and stay close to what they symbolize. When I see a picture of my family, it should move me to want to be close to my family. It doesn't mean I'm just going to hold that picture. Oh, I love this picture. Oh, this picture. My family's over there. Get away from me. I'm holding this picture. At some point I can realize that is important to me because of what it symbolizes. Symbols have value and meaning because of who or what they represent. You know, if I gave you a stock certificate, it would have value because of what it represented. If I gave you a car title, it would have significance because of the car attached to it. We have to understand that. You know, if we had this here, a fake Stanley Cup, And I gave this to you. I don't think you'd hold above your head and skate around the ice, yes, with tears streaming down your face, because people would say, what's your problem? That is a fake Stanley Cup. It doesn't represent anything. Because the real Stanley Cup represents a triumph by a team that they wanted to win. If I give you a car title and there's no car attached to that, you would say, well, who cares? You would throw it away. Hey, don't throw that away. There's no car attached. The paper does not symbolize anything. They give you a credit card that didn't have an account attached. You know, it'd be like, you know, you give your kids some of those things when they're little, then they realize there's no account attached. Dad, you've been suckering me for 10 years. Didn't they throw it away? It doesn't have anything attached to it. There's no value then. But when symbols become more important than what gives them value, you can lose what is truly important. If you start symbolizing and holding fast symbols over what they represent, it can cause a problem. It can start to change your life, and it can start to be an issue that can be a big problem later on. As I thought about this, I wondered if anyone in the Bible ever had this issue. So I'll show you some verses in the Bible. You're welcome to turn and follow along to make sure I'm not pulling your leg here. But 1 Samuel 4, verse 3 says, and when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? So Israelites are in war with the Philistines. They're getting ready to go back to battle. They're coming back. They had just been beaten, and they were searching and saying, why can't we win? The Philistines are our nemesis. They're our enemy. We have to beat them. We have to find some way to even the playing field out where we can win. We've got to find something that'll help us to achieve the victory. This is a tough time in our life. It's a challenge. It's a battle. It's a struggle of our life. And we need to find something. What in the world could we hold to that would give us the victory and give us the edge over our competition? Through the second half of the verse. It says, let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh among us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of the enemies. They said, you know what? We can go and get the Ark of the Covenant. We can bring that in, and we can say, this is what we're going to hold to. This is what represents the Lord. We're going to take it forward, and we will dominate. The Lord will be with us. Verse 5, when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. So the people were so excited. Look at the symbol that we have. Look at what we have. The Ark of the Covenant, actual Ark, is in our camp. It is here. And it rose with a great shout. 4:6. When the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood the Ark of the Lord was coming to the camp of the Philistines. It was so loud, the Philistines heard it in their camp. They thought, what are they cheering about? We just whipped them. We're going to do the same thing tomorrow. Why are they cheering? What in the world? So they sent some scouts over, said, go and see what they're so excited about. Verse 7, Philistines were afraid. Wow, the tide has turned. It is now in favor. The playing field is not just even. It is now an uphill battle for the Philistines, even though they won. Why? Because the Ark of the Lord is in the Israelite camp, and they're rejoicing and shouting. Philistines were afraid. They said, God is come into the camp. They said, woe unto us, there hath not been such a thing heretofore. This hasn't happened before. They were scared. We are going to have to fight the Israelites and their God. We are in trouble. 4:8. Woe unto us. What are we going to do? Who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? Who in the world is going to fight for us? We don't have an ark like that. We don't have God in our camp. Who's going to fight for us? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plague in the wilderness. They knew about him. They knew about his track record. They knew who they were fighting against. They said, look at this. This is a God that can do all these strange things. We don't have anybody like that. Their answer, 1 Samuel 4:9. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O you Philistines, that you be not servants unto the Hebrews. And they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. He said, you guys, we have no option except to fight. Man up and fight, because even if we lose, we don't want to be servants. We don't want to be a slavery to them the rest of our lives. So guys, we're going to put our best face on tomorrow and go out there. We may all die, but that's better than being a servant to them. We're going to still go ahead and fight. Verse 4:10, the Philistines fought. The next four words are strange, aren't they? Israel was smitten. That's not all. And they fled every man into his tent. There was a very great slaughter. There fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. How did that happen? The Ark of the Covenant was there. The symbol representing the Lord himself was on the front lines. The Philistines were terrified. They knew if God fought, they were doomed. The Israelites were rejoicing because they had this symbol in their camp. They brought it to the front lines. They said, look at us, look at the symbol. And they held it up and they cheered and they all gathered around it and said, we are going to win. Look at the symbol that we have. We have the symbol that represents the Lord. So, how come the symbol of God's presence didn't guarantee victory? That's an odd question. It's an odd thing in a story. And I wondered, why in the world did this symbol not guarantee that God was there? Why did it not guarantee that God was going to fight for the Israelites? Kind of led me to wonder if there are any symbols in my life that I jump around and cheer for, but I'm not getting the value because of who those symbols represent. The Israelites relied on symbols and went through the motions, but they lost the relationship with the one who gave the ark its power. They had the symbol. They had probably the most powerful symbol ever created to represent God, especially you could guarantee that in the Old Testament. This was a sacred symbol. This is a symbol that had pretty strict parameters and guidelines of even how to handle it. This was a very sacred piece. This is something that if there is anything that represented God, this would have been it. And you could have said, wow, God is here. Look at that. But God wasn't there because the Israelites clung to the symbol, but not the God behind it. And if we're not careful, I've fallen into the same trap of clinging to symbols, but not clinging to the relationship of the God who gave me the symbol that I'm clinging to. And so I lose this value because I'm missing the relationship with God. And I don't want any of you to struggle with this. I don't want you to get into a fight, a battle, a hard time, a tough time in your marriage, a tough time in your ministry, a tough time when you have nowhere else to turn and you hold to a symbol. You think, yes, I got God on my side. And God just shrugs his shoulders and says, well, I see a symbol, but I don't see a relationship with me. Where are we at in our relationship with the one who gives us a symbol? Just to clarify, you know, these are symbols like owning a Bible. Owning a Bible is a privilege. Owning a Bible is a blessing. Owning a Bible is something, just having it is a blessing. But you know what? If you don't get to know who wrote the Bible, then the Bible can become a symbol. You can't just walk around holding your Bible, clinging to your Bible. If you do that, it may become like the Ark of the Covenant. You may say one day, I can tear the world up. I have a Bible. But do you have a relationship with the one who gave you the Bible? The Bible is, yes, it's very important. You know why it's important? Because of who it represents. And you've got to have a relationship with the God who gave us the Bible. If you don't, one day you may find an empty symbol that you're clinging to and realize, I messed up. I need to have a relationship with the one who wrote and is the Bible. Maybe a symbol of claiming to be a Christian. Yeah, people, man, I'm a Christian, but they don't know who Christ is. They forgot. They may have their name in the book of life, and that is tremendous, but you have to live every day to be a light for Christ. How do you do that? By getting to be like him and know him. Do you know him? Maybe it's someone from coming from a good home. I came from a good home. I have good parents. I have a good church. That's wonderful. Those are great things that you can have. But if you start saying, I've arrived because I come from a good home, because I'm a Christian, because I have a Bible, if you start listing those as reasons why God should bless you, you may be mistaken. When you have a battle or a tough time come in your life and you say, God is here. God may say, I'm not here right now because you've rejected me. Where are we at in our relationship with the Lord? Maybe your father is a pastor in full-time service and you're holding to that and say, God's going to bless me because look at my mom and dad did. Look at what they did. Man, I can know God's going to bless me. God, you owe me. Man, I can't wait to get in the ministry. I can't wait to tear it up in my route. I can't wait to do all that because look, I have all these credentials that could be put by my name. But these are only symbols that have value if you understand who gives them value. Who gave you that good home? Who gave you the opportunity to be a Christian? Who gave you the Bible? Maybe in a symbol like you're a bus worker. Man, I'm a bus worker, and I'm all for bus workers. I oversee a bus ministry. But I'll tell you, if you start relying on the title of a bus worker or going through the motion of being a bus worker, and you don't realize why you are a bus worker and the value behind being a bus worker, it's not just the title of it. It's representing who? Christ. You're representing Jesus Christ. That's why you're out there. And if you don't know Him, then the title becomes meaningless. It's a symbol. And the symbol can lose value. Never forget why you're here. Never forget why you have that title. Never forget why you're influencing and helping people. Maybe you feel like you're a Christian college student. I'm a Christian college student. I have arrived. I'm at the pinnacle of my Christianity. Man, look at all these symbols I have. Look at all these credentials that I have. Look at all these pictures I could put on my Facebook post. Look at all these things on social media. I have all these things, and you look good on paper, but it's worthless. Why? There's nothing behind it. You've got to have a relationship with God that builds you up and gives you value, not because of who you are, but because of what you represent. And sometimes we find ourselves clinging to these things. As I've gotten older, I've seen people cling to experience. I can preach this message before. It's a good one. I can go through the motion and go through my visiting and soul winning this week. I've done this 1,000 times. I can make it through this college class. I'm a senior. I know I've got the game down. I can get through the dorms, I can get through my ministry, I can get through my classes, I can do all this because I have experience. And if you're not careful, as you get experience, as you get older, it becomes easier. You've got to understand experience is only valuable if you learn from it, and you have to stay close to who's giving you the opportunity to serve. If I start saying I've preached this sermon, I need to make sure that I understand the true significance of a message does not come from words I put in a paper or words that I speak to you verbally. The power of the message comes from who? The Lord. Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm not here today to impress you. I'm not here today to try to be eloquent. I'm here today to try to convince you to be closer to who I'm representing. That is the Lord. And if you forget that, then you're going to start clinging to worthless symbols that are meaningless. Just see, like couples I've counseled, they refuse to take their wedding ring off. That's a noble thing to do. But for years, they've abandoned the relationship with their spouse. And it represents a shambles. It represents a worthless marriage that's not even have any value anymore. Actually, you can cling to that symbol, the wedding ring, all you want. You can act like everything's good because I got the ring. But in reality, what does it represent? A mess. You've got to work on the relationship more than you cling to a symbol. I want you to have experience. I want you to develop authority in your teaching and in your representing Christ. I want you to go and understand what you're doing. I want you to have a relationship with the God who gives you credibility to speak to somebody else. Do we ever find ourselves going through the motions, having a relationship with God, and expect Him to bless us? Have we ever forgotten the reason we're here? Reason you were drawn here, or the reason after you got here, why you stay here, is because you sought a relationship with Jesus. All of you would say, I want to be more like Him. But if you're not careful, you'll start finding it's easier to cling to the symbols and on the periphery have a relationship with Him from a distance, because then you won't have to transform and change. And it is sometimes hard work to build a close walk with the person who gives symbols their value. But that's the reason you came here. Are you doing it? Have you done it this morning? This morning, did you carry your Bible around? Or did you spend time with the one who gave you the Bible? Did you learn about Him? Or did you just say, I'm good, I've got my Bible. I'm good, I'm carrying my Bible to class with me. I'm good, I went visiting for my bus route. That's fine.
I'm good. I'm a senior in Hiles Anderson College. I'm good. My bills are paid. But have you forgotten why you came here? Have you started clinging to all those symbols and forgetting the reason why you're here? Have you forgotten the reason at any point what would give you the value? What do you cling to when tough times come? If you're not careful, many of us can fall into the trap of treating God like a vending machine. When you're hungry, you go and you put something in to get a certain something out. And then you leave it again until you're hungry. Then you come back and you expect God to be like that. I'm doing good. I don't need God right now. I don't want to take the time to develop a relationship with Him right now. You have many reasons or excuses why you don't continue that relationship. But when there is an issue or a problem, or maybe you get asked to preach somewhere, or maybe you're hoping this one girl will say yes, or some guy will ask you out. So you start running to God and saying, God, let me push the buttons and put something in the vending machine. And by the way, let me pick what I want from you. And then you leave again when He gives you what you wanted. God is so kind and gracious and merciful that He might do that a few times. But if you start treating God too much like a vending machine and start distancing yourself from Him, you may find yourself, when tough times come, that you're a lot farther from Him than you thought you were. Your heart may have grown cold and hard, and you just don't know what to do, and you're struggling, and you wonder why. Maybe it's because you're relying on the symbols that represent God instead of building a relationship with God. You know, sometimes we get excited about symbols. And you have some reason, I'm sure, why you get excited about those symbols. So, you know, maybe you, some of you, are a big Blackhawks fan. You know, every time you see a Blackhawks fan, man, you cheer and you pull for them and you're hoping for them. Or maybe you're a Michigan fan and so you think, you know what, U of M. And every time you see them, you get that swell of pride, and you get excited about that, and you think, wow, look at that, and I'm going to go blue, and you have all those emotions, or maybe you're a Cubs fan, and you're so happy they won their World Series, and every time they mention, you get kind of excited, you think, yes, and you cheer for them, and you want them, and you get so excited because you're realizing, I'm associated with them, or maybe you're a Notre Dame fan, God help you, but maybe you're a Notre Dame fan, and you're cheering for them, and pulling for them, and you think, wow, look at them, and you wear their team symbol, and you carry it around, and you talk about that team, and you get excited when you see their symbol. But that's because you have some sort of emotional tie with that symbol. It's not the symbol itself, but you're cheering for that team. You're cheering for what they represent. You feel one to be associated with that team. In our college, we have some things. Maybe some of you are excited about this, and you see this symbol, and every time you see it, you want to cheer, clap, and some of you just, you know, silently, is it appropriate to clap my hands at this point? I guess not, but yay, you know, silent clap there, good, thank you. But you do all that, and you have those sound. Why are you excited about that? Because you have a relationship with a group of people there, and that moves your heart to think, wow, look at that, that's mine, that's my area, that's what it represents, and they're the people, that's where I go visiting, and that's where I make an impact, that's good. Maybe some of you are thinking, you know what, this is mine, and you got these, and you're happy about that. And boy, look at that symbol, and we're the best, and cheering, and maybe some of you are thinking, no, this is better, and we're going to cheer, and we're going to be excited about this, and this is my symbol, and man, I'm excited about that. Or maybe it's this one, you think, all right. One person's excited about this, and but you're excited about these symbols. But you have these symbols you're excited about, and it evoked a lot of emotion from the audience. You're excited about these things, and I'm happy that you are. But as you see these symbols, you start clinging to them. And sometimes you can forget what all those symbols should lead us to. And sometimes we're not careful, we'll see this and not have the same emotion. We'll get excited about our bus division, but not excited about what gives that bus division value. If you took Jesus out of the picture, be honest, what value does that bus division have? If you can make sure that you never put a symbol above who it's representing. If I offered you $1 million in Confederate money, that would not excite you. You would say it's worthless paper. So many times in our life, if we're not careful, we'll start pursuing and becoming attached to symbols. And we start drifting from what that symbol represents and what gives that symbol significance. Just a reminder and a challenge. What symbol is moving you today? Did this symbol move you at all? Did this name on the screen move you at all? Did that, when it came on, were you a little disappointed that it wasn't something you felt you were attached to? Was there a little disappointment? Oh, I thought I'd put my division back. Was there a little of that? It's just a caution. Build a relationship with Jesus. He's what gives your life significance and value. Because I've tried to understand, and I'm still on this path to understanding, that everything that I do and I pursue should lead me back to Him. Everything that people need from me is from Him. Everything that I can offer to solve people's problems is from Him. As I walk through life and I have people that cross my path that have issues and burdens and struggles, and I feel like, okay, God, I'll try to help them the best I can start relying on the fact that I own a Bible. I can start on the fact that I have 20 years of experience in the ministry. I can start relying on the fact that I have a marriage of 22 years to do marriage counseling. I can start relying on all those things, but ultimately, you know who I better rely on? Jesus. And it's easy to forget that. Just like, remember, the Israelites forgot it. Ark of the Covenant is here. Let's all cheer. Let's all shout. We're going to win. Israelites are going to win. Philistines are scared. We have no chance. But they did. And 30,000 people were killed. Why? Because they started clinging to a symbol. Have we forgotten that all of the glory, all of it, belongs to who? Jesus. All of it. I understand that it's fun to get accolades. I understand it's fun to win awards. I understand it's fun to get a diploma. I understand all of that. And I want you to work hard, and you can say, I worked to get that and feel accomplishment from that. But if you start building that up as a symbol in your life, you're going to be disappointed one day when pressure is applied. You're going to be disappointed one day when a battle or a tough time comes in your life, and you look around and realize, look at what I have. And they say, knock it aside and say, that's meaningless. And the enemy steamrolls you. And your marriage is left to shambles. And your children are gone. You wonder, what? What happened? You started clinging to symbols instead of the Lord. You know, I'll just show a couple verses. I'll be quick. But, you know, 1 Samuel 7, just a couple chapters over, says that Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts and put away the strange god and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. He said, let me tell you, you guys are still serving the Philistines. Do you want to finally be delivered to them? Let me tell you, what did He say? The same thing I've been saying all message. Quit clinging to the symbol and get to know God again. Serve Him. Serve Him only. Put your heart and soul into following Him. Quit looking at the Ark of the Covenant saying, we got it in the bag. Quit doing that and forgetting about who? The God who gives it its value. So what happened? Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only. Once they did that and got their priorities back and realized a symbol had a lot more value, I didn't have the value, but the guy behind it did. Samuel was offering up the burnt offering. The Philistines drew near to battle with the sword. The Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. What happened? They put the relationship with the Lord first, and good things happened. Same battle, same enemy, different result, because God was there. Who are you close to today? Are you carrying your Bible around as a symbol? Or are you using it to learn about who gave you the Bible? Are you in a Christian college to get a diploma? Or are you in a Christian college to develop a relationship with who gave us the college? Are you trying to serve the Lord, or are you trying to serve something that would serve you? What are you clinging to? Are you excited about the things that represent God more than God Himself? Don't fall into that trap. 1 Samuel 7:13, the Philistines were subdued, and they came up no more to the coast of Israel. The hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. They won the battle for a long time because they put God first. Are you fighting a battle today and you don't know how to win? You say, God, why are you not helping me win? I'm in a Christian college. God, why are you not helping me win? My bill is paid. God, why are you not helping me win? I visit every Saturday. I run my bus every Sunday. And you're not helping me. And you're raising an accusing finger to God. You're saying, God, look at all that I've done for you. Why won't you bless me? God says, I see what you're doing, but you don't know me. So I ask you, when's the last time your heart was moved to be closer to the Lord? When's the last time you felt emotion as you prayed? When's the last time as you read the Bible, you could just feel the emotion? When's the last time your heart was moved with gratitude for the Lord, for what He's done? Last thing, do you need to reacquaint yourself to Jesus today? Have your symbols lost their value? Do you need to find them again? Do you look at your Bible? As you look at your Christianity, as you look at your ability to come from a good home, as you look at your ability to say, you know, I had this or this, or you look at all your credentials, and you look at that, take a closer look. What are they representing? Are they counterfeit money? Or are they representing the Lord who gave them to you and gives them value? Do you need to reacquaint yourself with Him? Are you having a close walk with Him? If you got in a tough time today and you brought the Ark of the Covenant forward in your life, would God be there too? Or that symbol you're holding in your hands, thinking it represents the Lord? What's there? All of us need to have a personal walk with Him. All of us need to understand the significance He gives us. And if we forget that, we're in trouble. If He forgets that, you can scare the enemy and you can hear a lot of shouting. But at some point, that symbol will lose its value and will fail you. But Jesus won't. I want to ask you, who are you acquainting yourself with today? Do you have a symbol that represents the Lord, or is it an empty symbol that at one point represented the Lord? Are you looking back on a time when you were closer to Him and realizing I've drifted? Are you looking back at a time when your Bible reading had more significance and you've come from that because you're a busy college student? Don't lose the value of the relationship with Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to speak. God, thank you for being there for us.